Welcome to Stories in the Valley. I'm your host, Charles Kiernan. Now that you have recovered from your St. Patrick's Day hangover, I am here to tell you the celebration isn't really over until you have heard a bit of Irish lore. Today I present to you Richard Marsh, storyteller, guide to the ancient Celtic sites, and resident of Dublin. If you find yourself in Dublin and are interested in Irish history, you will need to look him up. Here is Richard's rendition of Oisin and Naive.
Long, long ago in Ireland, before the coming of the modern age, there was a band of warriors called the Fianna, who defended Ireland against invasion. Their leader was Fionn MacCool, and his son was Oisin the poet. It's from Oisin that the true stories of Fionn and the Fianna have been passed down through the ages, and of all the stories of battles they fought in this world and the adventures they had in the other world, and all the turnings and twistings of the heart they endured in both worlds, one story will never be forgotten, and that is the story of the day Oisin met Niamh. One day Fionn and the Fianna were hunting in Kerry, and they stopped to rest on a hill overlooking the Atlantic Ocean, the way they could see if any invaders were coming. And they saw one. Now it wasn't often an invader came to Ireland without a fleet of boats and a whole army behind him. But this one didn't have even one boat. This invader was riding a majestic white horse across the tops of the waves, and as Fionn and Oisin and the rest of the Fianna stared in amazement, they could see that the invader was a beautiful young woman with long gold hair that flowed past her waist and streamed out behind her in the wind. Sperven Glaegal Allen, Cullum calls her in his song, a dream vision woman whose beauty radiated from her like shafts of light. The older heroes of the Fianna pulled in their belts, and the younger heroes wished they had remembered to brush their teeth that morning. Fionn looked at Oisin standing beside him, and he could see that this invader had already made a conquest before she even reached the shore. At the first sight of her, Oisin's heart did a double back flip and tied itself into a knot. His mouth fell open, and his knees started to tremble. The woman rode her horse up the hill where they were standing and stopped in front of Fionn and Oisin. Fionn said, by way of opening the conversation, "You are very welcome to our country, young lady. I don't believe I've seen you here before." "But I've seen you," she said, "when you couldn't see me, Fionn MacCool. I've often come to Ireland to watch you and the Fianna and your son Oisin." At the sound of his name on her lips, Oisin's knees turned to jelly. "What is your name, and where do you come from, and who is your father, and what is your husband's name?" said Fionn in his capacity as chief immigration officer. "My name is Niamh Keenor from Tiernanog, and my father is Mananon MacLear, who is lord in that land." Her name, Niamh, means brightness. Niamh of the golden hair from the land of youth, where no one ever grows old. "You didn't mention the name of your husband back in Tiernanog," Fionn reminded her, and Oisin and every man of the Fianna held his breath. "Many men in Tiernanog have offered me their love," said Niamh, "but I have given my love to none of them." Oisin and the Fianna let out their breath in a sigh of relief. Fionn looked at her with an eye well practiced in judging the makings of a good wife. "That seems very unfair of you, not to give your love to any man," he said severely, for he was a man with a keen sense of justice. "Not to any man of Tiernanog," said Niamh, "because I'm in love with a man of Ireland, and I've come here to ask him to be my husband and come back to Tiernanog with me." And as Oisin and the Fianna held their breaths once again, Niamh smiled at Oisin. The jelly in Oisin's knees turned to water, and everyone knew who she had chosen. Oisin looked around at his fellow heroes of the Fianna, and he saw several things at once in their eyes. Jealousy, that Niamh had not chosen them, and relief that she was taking some of the competition for the other women out of the way, but mostly he saw sadness at the parting of friends and comrades. And Oisin looked at Fionn and saw the look of satisfaction that a father feels when he sees his son well connected in marriage. but mostly sadness at seeing that son about to leave him. We don't know if Oisin had second thoughts, or any at all for that matter, but if he did, Niamh swept them away when she leaned down from the saddle and kissed him. And without the slightest difficulty, she enticed him to Tir na n Og. Oisin leapt onto the great white horse behind Niamh, and they galloped off across the waves to Tir na n Og, where Oisin received a warm welcome from Mananaan and his people. And if Oisin had fallen completely in love with Niamh at first sight, he fell twice as completely in love every time he looked at her. Now, if this were a fairy tale, I could say, and they lived happily ever after. But it's not a fairy tale, and they didn't. They lived happily for three revolutions of the seasons, what they would call 3 years, if they counted time, which of course they didn't, since time doesn't exist in the land of the ever young. And they had 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. Then one day Oisin said to Niamh, "I keep remembering the look of sadness in my father's eyes, and in the eyes of my friends in the Fianna when I left Ireland. If they miss me as much as I miss them, they'll be as happy to see me again as I will be to see them. I'd like to borrow the white horse and go back to Ireland for a short visit." "Don't leave this place," said Niamh. "Don't go away from me, my darling. If you leave Tir na n Og, you will never return." "Of course I will," said Oisin. "I love you and the children, and I could never be happy without you. I'll come back so fast you'll never know I left." And Oisin said to Niamh what many men have said to many women down through the ages, and as far as I know, some man may be saying it to some woman at this very moment. "Silly woman, don't worry, nothing's going to happen." When Niamh saw that he was determined to go, she said, "Remember when I went to Ireland to bring you here, I stayed on the horse the whole time. Whatever you do, promise me you won't get off the horse. Don't even touch the ground." "I promise," Oisin said. "I'll be back in the blink of an eye." And away over the waves he galloped on the back of the great white horse, and in no time at all he arrived in Ireland. He went directly to Dunollan, where Fionn and the Fianna lived when they weren't out hunting or defending Ireland against invaders. But as Oisin galloped up the hill, he noticed that the road was overgrown and the fields were untended. He heard no voices and saw no people, and when he reached Dunollan, he saw that the roof had caved in and the walls were tumbling down. He couldn't imagine what had happened. The headquarters of the Fianna was deserted. Oisin went back down the road and turned the horse's head toward Glenasmole, the Glen of the Thrushes, one of the Fianna's favorite hunting grounds. It was in Glenasmole that he saw the first people. A group of men were struggling to move a large stone, and Oisin wondered at this. Any one of the Fianna could have picked the stone up with one hand. And here were 10 men, pushing and pulling and prying at the stone, and not able to move it an inch. What had happened to the people since Oisin left Ireland for Tir na n Og? Oisin didn't recognize any of the men as he rode up to them. He noticed they were small and puny, about the size of you and me and everybody else these days. There was amazement in the men's eyes as they looked up at Oisin on the great white horse. He greeted them and asked them where he might find Fionn MacCool and the Fianna. "Fionn MacCool," they said, "the Fianna? There's no one around here named Fionn MacCool. Never was. Back in the old days, people used to tell fairy tales to frighten children about a race of evil giants called the Fianna, who went around eating people. But no one really believed those stories." That's when Oisin realized. 300 years had passed in Ireland while he thought he had been away for 3 years, and his father and friends were dead a long time. "It's a good thing they don't tell those stories anymore," Oisin said. "They're lies. I'm Fionn's own son, Oisin, and I was a member of the Fianna myself. We weren't giants, but any one of us could have picked this stone up with one hand, and my son Oscar could have thrown it over the side of the glen." He turned the horse's head toward the west and Tir na n Og. But one of the men said, "Prove what you say is true by lifting this stone for us, and then we'll listen to your stories of Fionn and the Fianna." "I'll do that so," Oisin said, "to set the record straight, and then I'll go back to Tir na n Og. There is nothing left for me in this country. Oisin remembered what Niamh had said about not getting off the horse. So he leaned down from the saddle and put his hand under the stone. But when he began to lift it, the girth of the saddle broke under the strain, and Oisin fell to the ground. As soon as he touched the soil of Ireland, 300 years of this world's time caught up with his body, and he was instantly turned into a withered, blind old man. Niamh's great white horse galloped away. Some say it was because he was frightened at what happened to Oisin. But no, the horse was wise enough to understand that now Oisin would never be able to return to Niamh and Tir na n Og. But the men got an awful shock to see this strong young warrior suddenly turned into an old man. They thought Oisin was dead until they heard him muttering, "Tir na n Og, Tir na n Og." So they took him to the wisest man they knew, and that was St. Patrick. Patrick was an old man himself then. When the men told Patrick that Oisin had said he was Oisin, son of Fionn Mac Cumhail, Patrick knew what they were talking about, and he was very interested. He had a great respect for the old traditions, and he wanted to know more of the stories. He knew that Oisin was the poet and historian of the Fianna, and if anyone could tell him the old stories, it was Oisin. But what was he to do with this feeble, blind old man who kept muttering, "Tir na n Og, Tir na n Og, the land of youth, the land of youth"? Patrick was kind and sympathetic, and he said to Oisin, "Tir na n Og is gone now. It disappeared with the coming of the new religion of Christianity." "Niall Sinn Fear," Oisin said, "that's not true." And of course it wasn't. Tir na n Og is forever, because time has no effect there. But Patrick thought it was true. Oisin went on, "Look, there it is, just there on the horizon. That's where I belong, in the land of youth." Patrick shook his head sadly to see Oisin staring with his sightless eyes and pointing at the wall. Eventually, Oisin came to understand that for him, Tir na n Og would always remain just there on the horizon. Patrick took Oisin into his house and gave him a servant boy to look after him and lead him around, and he asked Oisin to tell him the old stories and explain how the places in Ireland got their names, so he could have the information written down for future generations. Oisin realized it was the only way to correct the lies that people were telling about the Fianna, and he agreed. So Oisin and Patrick toured around the country with a scribe named Brogan, who wrote down Oisin's true stories of Fionn and the Fianna, as he told them to Patrick. And that's how they've come down to us today.
That was Richard Marsh. The Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild holds its storytelling circle at Godfrey Daniels at 7 East 4th Street in Bethlehem on the second Wednesdays of the month at 7:30 p.m., except the month of August. Come and listen to stories or try out a story yourself. We are a friendly audience and the event is free. That's all for now. Have fun and keep a story in your heart.